This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'd like to say good afternoon, but I'm not sure it is here at Fenway Park. WEEI Afternoons at our Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series, official truck of the Red Sox. And the good news is that your Ford dealer, they will make a deal with you. Craig Breslow doesn't work there, so he can't ruin it the way he ruined the trade deadline. Nick Fitzy, Stevens, Andy Hart here to vent for the next 4 hours. Because, Fitzy, I've learned one thing over 20 years covering the Patriots, doing postgame shows. Early on at Patriots.com, more recently with you, the Six Rings postgame show. Sometimes I react at like 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock, whatever the time is after the game.
If your eyes are open, yes.
Then I sleep on it. And sometimes the next morning, Monday, Tuesday, Friday, as people will tell you, because they play games on weird days, sometimes I feel a little bit differently. So I felt like crap about the trade deadline and the Boston Red Sox when we left 6 o'clock yesterday. And it had nothing to do with the fact that for 15 seconds, Joe Ryan was falsely reported to be coming here. It just was the inactivity.
Oh, what a 20 seconds that was, though.
And 20 hours later, Fitzy, I still feel like crap because I listened to the general manager. I'm just calling him the general manager. I'm not going to say the highfalutin title that they like to give him. He doesn't earn that title right now because he did nothing. He did not make the team better. In fact, I thought he was disrespectful to his entire organization last night when he spoke on the Zoom, when he said, we made everybody available. They just didn't want our players. Oh, good to know. So 29 other teams think you've overrated your prospects and your organization. 29 other teams want no part of your players that are supposed to be valuable in the minor leagues. And then he said, but we did try to get real impact players. Oh, I'm sure that makes Steven Matz and May feel really good that you said they're not impact players. You tried to get real impact players, and when you couldn't get real impact players, you settled on these dinks, one of whom will start with one of the worst rotations in baseball this weekend for a three-game
series
against the Astros.
What are you talking about? Criswell, May, and Bueller this weekend? L, F, and G, baby.
You're out of the playoffs by Monday with that rotation. That is what's going to happen.
This is the saddest.
You're out of the playoffs by Monday.
Do you remember last year there were many times where the Red Sox trotted out a lineup that was, I think, in salary commensurate to $9.5, maybe $10 million? And many of us on radio, online, the few people that suffered through those games in the stands likely said, this is not a major league roster. This is not a major league lineup. This isn't a major league team. Right now, coming off of this trade deadline, when eight teams in the American League, six of which right now are currently slated to be postseason contenders, eight of them contenders, when everybody else in the American League was more active than you, you have the nerve to say, well, we put the for sale sign out there in front of everyone. It's just that nobody wanted it. And then you're going to trot out Cooper, Criswell, Dustin May, and Walker Bueller, your 7, 8, and 9 starters in front of your fans against the Houston Astros, who are steamrolling towards the playoffs. GTF out of here, Craig Breslow.
And one of those fans in attendance tonight will be a loudmouth, big-headed, short-legged person by the name of Andy Hart, who really wants to be like the fans at the Greg Hill Roadshow this morning and boo, but he's not sure who to boo at and when to boo at. I feel bad for Cooper Criswell. It's not his fault. It's not his fault that he's the sacrificial lamb that's going to get thrown out there, and he's not even in the top 10. Dan Ball and I actually did a top 10 list of Coopers I'd rather see at Fenway Park tonight than Cooper Criswell.
Scott Cooper, the old third baseman.
Absolutely.
Chris Cooper, the legendary actor.
Sure, don't know who that is, but I'll take him. John Cooper, there's multiple John Coopers who coach hockey and football.
How about
Bradley Cooper?
Yep.
Bradley Cooper.
So there's something, girl.
Plenty. Amari Cooper. He could then go play for the
Amari
Patriots.
Amari Cooper would be great.
There are Cooper DeJean, who would be one. He'd fit right in.
Player number 60 on the NFL 100, by the way.
Oh, my God.
I argued for Cooper Boardman because even if he was giving up home runs, it would sound good as they were going out of the ballpark.
Right, he could call the own shot that he gives up.
Absolutely. Have him wear a lav mic. It's all over the stadium. It's great. Much better than what we're going to get
today. I think
today.
I may just boo randomly and intermittently throughout the night. Just out of nowhere, I'm going to be that guy, and people are going to be like, how many Miller Lights has that guy had? It doesn't even make sense,
Andy,
to boo here.
I would not want to be the first two 24-ounce golden can Miller Lights you get your hands around tonight. Nobody is ever going to suck down a fine Pilsner more angrily than you are tonight.
And we have
Who's going with you? Who can film this for us?
Oh, this is the whole Hart fam. This is the breakup game before we send the lad off
before
to college.
Before big guy goes off to school?
Yep. So if I cry today, if you look over and I'm just sort of crying, you'll know why. My life is falling apart around me. The dogs
Wait
are
a second.
Gone. My
why
son
are you
is
crying
gone.
Tonight? Hey, audience at large, is Andy crying, A, because his son is going off to college and this is a big moment for a dad, or B, he's taking the family to see
Man,
Cooper?
That's a depressing quiz with Stiz question.
No, and there's a little seriousness to this. This is entertainment, Fitzy. I always tell you, this is escapism. This is where when your dog dies and your kid moves away to college and you're sad, you go to Fenway Park on a Friday night to see Garrett Crochet, and for 2.5 hours, you escape the real world. The problem is the fake world at Fenway kind of stinks right now, and we have a reason why. Fitzy, we have real quick, Fitz, we have fresh audio from Bob Nightingale. So you want to know who to blame? If you think, well, you can't blame this guy, is it John Henry? Who's to blame? Bob Nightingale.
Because I want answers, Andy. That's the thing. Like, I think there's more to this. There has to be something more than just everybody looked at the Red Sox prospects and said, meh. We shall do our shopping elsewhere. Come on. Even with the best prospects now currently on the Major League roster, there had to be something reasonably attractive about the Red Sox farm system to get better talent than Dusty Rhodes and freaking, the Mott's kid.
So we have Stiz.
Teams hate dealing with the Red Sox.
Go ahead, Stiz.
Sorry.
Teams hate dealing with the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. They said just very tough to deal with Breslow. Diamondbacks were had some momentum going with Merrill Kelly, and that fell apart to him. I don't think they were ever really in on Joe Ryan. You know, some report that was done. I'm not sure they even had conversations. But when you talk to GMs around the game, said it's very tough to deal with the Red Sox and Craig Breslow in particular. And if they're really going for it, you know, they did a poor job because the Yankees got a whole lot better. Blue Jays got better. So I think they're giving the outside looking in. I think the fact they didn't do anything, they may be sitting home and the Texas Rangers take their place as that wild card team.
So it is difficult to deal with Craig Breslow. That's unfortunate when his job is literally to do deals, to make deals, to sell teams on a swappage of talent, to sell teams that may not love his prospects, why his prospects might be more valuable than those in New York. Or Tampa, or wherever the hell else other teams are propping things up. Well, because it's still, as much as we want to say it's a analytics world, Dan Ball, as much as we want to say it's an AI world.
I will not be taking shrapnel from this.
There's still human beings involved with everything. Deals are still done. If you look at big business, you know where deals are still done? Over alcohol and golf. People do deals. It is still the way. So they decide what computers are going to do later, and they do big deals that revolve around technology, but it's still human beings. And I don't know, based on this report from Bob Nightingale, as well as our own circumstantial evidence observing Craig Breslow, I don't know that they have a guy that's capable of doing deals, who follows up a guy that was quite incapable of doing deals until he did a deal with Craig Breslow. Is that a coincidence that one of the two deals they actually did was Chaim Bloom and Craig Breslow? The two robots got together and one of them had to say yes, so you got a robot deal, and we got a Matt's all folks reliever, an overpaid lefty to come out of the pen when Cooper Criswell stinks tonight.
What a mess. What an absolute. I mean, honestly, we were saying this yesterday, and I think Steve Buckley was speaking to it last night as well on NBC Sports Boston. The general notion that the starter you got, who has said, Dan Ball, remind me again, how many surgeries has Dustin May had during his major league career?
It pains me to say that when you do a keyword search of the word surgery on his Wikipedia page, it comes up 7 times.
Seven!
Thank you. He had
seven surgeries.
He had a Tommy John surgery. He had a Tommy John revision surgery.
Oh, that's the best.
He had an
I had so much fun, I went back and did it again.
He had an esophagus issue that he had to get like emergency surgery on. Like this guy.
You know how you throw up your esophagus? By choking. So we
and Andy, did you hear why he had like an esophageal laceration? I think it was from eating a salad. I'm not kidding.
Good. He ate a. He got hurt eating a salad.
Oh, I forgot about that. That's right. See,
I like him. I didn't know this. I knew the injury thing. I knew that he got hurt eating a salad.
Folks, we're literally not making this up. We promise.
And I need to update listeners. We are at Fenway, so we're looking out at Lansdowne Street. It's relatively quiet, but you know what I've seen a lot of?
Astros jerseys.
You know what else I happen to have seen? The first person that came to the window and banged on the window to get our attention, you know what he was wearing? The aforementioned Rangers jersey that Bob Nightingale says that might be a team that could just pass your ass up if you're the Boston Red Sox. I have not seen any. I have not seen any Red Sox jerseys banging on the window and celebrating and fist pumping and there's reason for that. That's because your guy, Craig Breslow, who claimed for, is it weeks or months, did they say they were going to be urgent?
Months actually now.
Okay, let's go. Months.
By the way, how many? I think I took the over on 8.5 Nesson appearances from Kennedy and Breslow talking about how aggressive they would be at the trade deadline and how they believed in this team. I think they did more. And if you add, I think like all those 14, 16 different EEI and Nesson appearances together. And you fold them up into a big ball and you try to light it on fire, you can't because it amounted to absolutely nothing. Nothing. Good day, sir. We took the cheese, Andy. We took the cheese. And I blame you, you people. You, or at least you, sir. Because
Wait,
you
me?
Wanted this cheese and you were buying in and you told us they would do something and they did nothing.
I had reason to believe they would do something because they told me they were going to take the exact same approach that they took in the offseason when they brought in Crochet and Bregman and Chapman. You know what those three guys are? All-stars. They were your all-star representatives. Mm-hmm. So silly me, silly cynical Andy, you wonder why I'm the way I am? It's because people like Breslow and Sam Kennedy lie to me. That is the reason why I start to question everything and hate the world around me. I took them at their word when they said, see what we did in the offseason when John Henry was smoking a cigar afterwards? That's the same approach we're taking. We have financial flexibility. We have prospects. We think this is an October team. Guess what? It's not an October team anymore because you didn't make it an October team because they are going to sink like a stone just like all their predecessors. Why? Not just because they're not as talented as the teams around them, which may be true, especially now where, I don't know, team like Seattle. They added two bats that might be better than any bat you have.
Their top six in their lineup right now is nasty.
They added a 36 home run guy to a team that already had the major league leader in home runs.
And one of the best rotations in baseball that they already had coming in.
Correct. You begged them to give you some of this offseason.
Right.
When you were talking yourself up into, you know, Tristan Casas, he's a 40 home run, 120 RBI guy. Those teams got better. The Yankees got better. Even the team we thought was selling. Who's the one player, Dan Ball, that I left the Twins series saying I wanted other than Joe Ryan?
Griffin Jacks.
Where'd he go?
The Tampa Bay Rays.
Wait, is Tampa a buyer?
They are at least a team that values talent.
They traded Taj Bradley for an elite reliever.
Yeah, a project for an elite reliever.
Correct.
Absolutely. A guy who, if they can't solve, I would wonder if any team can solve them.
Are you illegally allowed, Dan? Is that in the MLBPA that you're allowed to actually make trades at the deadline for a pursuit of a wild card spot or the current playoffs as well as building towards the future? Is that allowed to do a twofer like that?
My understanding is yes, you can make a trade for any number of reasons, but you actually have to have the raisins, as Ted Johnson has said the last couple days, in order to actually do it. And that's what was proven to me, guys. Like the leadership group of this Red Sox team, they took the cowardly approach. They did not actually value winning in the way that they told us that they were going to. Go back to the offseason, because, Andy, you've cited this a number of times. The aggression that they had in the offseason, Crochet, Chapman, Bregman. That wasn't to compete in October. That was to sell season tickets to make sure that people were at Fenway Park.
And green jerseys.
Absolutely. And they sold a lot of Crochet jerseys, a lot of Bregman jerseys, maybe not as many Chapman jerseys, but we'll digress on that. There was no actual pursuit of doing what it takes to win. And that's what I've learned as a Red Sox fan, that you have to accept, Fitzy, about this team right now. It's not about being the best team that wins in October. As long as the cash machine is still creating the money for the ownership group that they need, then everybody's happy. Everybody has a great time at Fenway Park. And if you fall ass backwards into October, then that's just an added benefit.
Wait, hold on. So we're now back to fiscal Fenway. We're now back to, what is it, Dan? Organizational efficiency. We're now back to.
Can I push back on that just a little?
Always.
Isn't Stephen Matz a bit overpaid for a fifth and sixth inning role? An $11 million reliever who is a long guy for you? Like, he's not a fiscally responsible addition, in my opinion. He's actually a guy that if the team was better, I'd say, wow, they overpaid a little bit for a guy that they thought they needed, a lefty specialist, middle innings, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a little, there's some mixed messaging in there. I think they got desperate. I think they got embarrassed and they were like, wait, we preached urgency. We got to at least add a couple arms. We have to do something. And the other thing I want to push back on. So my first takeaway when you listen to Craig Breslow last night on the Zoom, which was late. It was supposed to be 6:45, didn't start till 7. I don't care for that. I think he was coming up with a few more talking points. But when he goes out there and he said, it's not for a lack of us going to uncomfortable places and making everybody available and we had no untouchables, you're telling me no other team wants any players in your farm system? You know what I think it is? It's a little bit of semantics. It's a little bit of a shell game. Did you make everybody? Did the menu include everybody? Maybe. But you said, well, if you take him, then you get nobody else. Or you want those two, you don't get this one. There was no stacking of prospects and putting together packages. You know, Mason Miller. I mean, I know that's an extreme example, but
well, at least you got his name in today.
Four top 20 prospects went from the Padres.
Right.
There's no way Craig Breslow was making them all available in a deal like that for Joe Ryan. And that's why Bob Nightingale said, despite the reporting, it never got close.
Right.
Also, you have to question the sources that were reporting how close it got. I know some people said it was like 85% there. Was that Carrabas that put that number out there?
There were a couple, yeah. He was one of them that said it was on like the 5-yard line, that type thing.
But okay, then, I don't think it was.
But then Cotillo came out and said it wasn't even close. And then I think it was Rosenthal who described it as a feeble effort.
Feeble. Yeah. It wasn't close. Yeah. Never got close. And no disrespect to Carrabas. I think he's built a nice career for himself. When you're doing the Nesson alternate broadcast and you're doing commercials that say, super fan, your credibility's in question. You work for the team. You're working for the team and probably in a little bit of a PR mode. So I don't think they were ever in on that. I don't think they were all in on the prospects. I don't think it's just that other people didn't want them. You have a guy that's incapable of making the deal again. And that's the biggest issue here, whether it's personality, whether it's analytics, his numbers don't mesh up. And at some point, you just got to buy what you need to buy to help win. You have the inability to make deals. And that's why you're going to go into the rest of the season with no hope, because hope is lost, Fitzy. I don't know if I'm being overdramatic, but I feel no hope at Fenway Park right now.
No, I think you can't just tell these guys the season's over. That's it. Everyone pack your bags, go home. You get an early start. You get an early start to fall. Make your tee times. Cancun is calling, and hey, the Patriots look pretty good. No. You can't pack your bags now, because the team is still, what, 8 games over .500. There's just a little bit less than a third of the season to play. And yeah, the seven other teams that either have playoff dreams or are currently slated to be playing in the postseason were more active than you. But you're playing good baseball right now. You have to hope that Bayo and Giolito can pitch like 2-3s or a 3-4 combination, that Crochet holds up, that Chapman doesn't throw up in the bullpen or have back spasms again, and that your lineup stays hot. Maybe Jaron Duran does stay hot. Maybe they use this as a turning point. Maybe they use this as a rallying cry for themselves, like, F it, Joe Boo, we do it ourselves. They still have a chance to play great baseball, kind of prove us and many other fans wrong while exciting those fans. But I will say this. If they win, it will be in spite of the efforts of a Craig Breslow and management, because if people like Jen McCaffrey are saying that the Sox were unwilling to offer any big league outfielders, so therefore when Craig Breslow tells us to our face or via a Zoom or on the Greg Hill show that every player was made available, that's a lie. And she also said they didn't offer an enticing enough package. then that's another lie right there as well. So a part of me hopes, I mean, there's that part of you that's spiteful. That's like, yeah, go ahead and go in the tank and, you know, and then that way everyone can boo him out of town. But then there's that part of me that wants them to play really well and, you know, shove it right up his craw and squeak into the playoffs because, Andy, winning is still fun, guy.
617-779-7937. How are you feeling after the trade deadline? Who do you blame for the lack of inactivity? And what are your hopes for the Boston Red Sox over the final third of the season? Do you still believe they are a playoff team? Will they make the playoffs? We'll talk about that next. And I'll tell you one person who thinks they're going in the tank. That's Craig Breslow. And I have evidence to prove Craig Breslow thinks there's a good chance his clubhouse is going to go in the tank. We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, what's trending?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That was Craig Breslow on the Greg Hill Show this morning with what I would call damage control. Not surprised he's doing it. A little bit surprised that he's offering it up publicly, Nick Fitzy Stevens, that he had to preemptively call players and explain to them, no, we actually tried to make moves. We tried to help you do your job. We tried to live up to what we've said all year, that this is a team that we think is headed toward the postseason and has put itself in position for that. That tells me right there, he knows there's going to be a negative reaction to the trade deadline, not just with fans, not just with bitchy talk radio host named Andy Hart, but in the clubhouse at Fenway Park. And Fitzy, before you respond to that, I did want to let everybody know, Alex Cora will speak here at Fenway Park later today, his usual pregame media availability. We are going to do our best to carry that live because I think it's important to hear from the manager, the guy who will be controlling those emotions the most or sort of managing those personalities. But I think Craig Breslow is worried that his team is going to go in the tank after he was unable to do anything.
And if Craig Breslow is, sorry, I'm a little worked up here. If he's concerned that they're going to go in the tank, why didn't that hasten his actions? Why didn't that incentivize him further? Why didn't that light the fire under his ass necessary yesterday to get something done? I don't care. Your team, you've got one of the younger teams in baseball that's already winning games with a spot of veteran leadership. Trade the whole damn farm. Who cares if they literally said, we want the entirety of the Worcester Red Sox lineup for Joe Ryan? Fine, take him. Want some Sea Dogs while you're at it? Go ahead, help yourself. We don't care. If you knew your team was going to be disappointed and you believe in these guys, isn't it the general manager / president of baseball operations or Bresbot's responsibility to provide them with the tools and the players and the assets they need? Not a washed up 5 ERA starter who's had 7 surgeries and almost killed himself eating a salad and a converted former Mets, now St. Louis Cardinals, long lefty reliever who gives off faint Drew Pomerantz vibes. Get out of here.
So Craig Breslow was calling his players to try to explain what the hell has happened. We have everybody calling us, 617-779-7937. The lines are loaded, and Breslow would not like some of the subject lines. So let's go to Matt in Medway first. What's up, Matt?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. First time, long time. I just want to give a quick shout out to my boy Fitzy. We had the pleasure of meeting at Susuit in Dennis earlier this week.
Yes.
It was right.
What's up, buddy? Good to hear from you.
Yeah. No, I'll also sick brag, bro. I'll be at the game tonight, and I'm very interested to hear all the different stuff about Breslow. But I just think this is really interesting in the sense of, like, what does this mean for teams in the offseason? Like, players aren't going to want to come to the Red Sox and sign these big contracts when, you know, you're hearing all this stuff about Breslow's impossible to talk to and going back to, like, the robot interviews and stuff that he's had. So, I don't know. It's a tough time to be a Sox fan, but I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on something like that.
Thanks for the call, Matt. You don't want to get a reputation. First of all, forget the players. The reputation between teams is one you don't want to have. You need these teams to make deals, and if you are difficult to work with, that's going to hinder your opportunities. The players, I'm less worried about, Fitzy, because I think generally 90% of the time, the players go where the money takes them. You know, if you offer Bregman $40 million a year, he's going to where you offered him $40 million a year, or Carl Crawford or David Price, or we've seen it. So Edgar Renteria, guys that didn't really want to leave. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, how much were you offering? Yeah, I'll move to Boston. It'll suck. And I probably won't be there long, but I'll have a lot of money in the bank. So is that a concern? The reputation a little bit. But I think it's a bigger concern within baseball if you're known as a team that can't make moves, then there's no point in even talking to the Red Sox.
Yeah, but at the same time, I even if it's a little extra money, first you got to factor in the whole Taxachusetts thing if we're going to be going down the Great Green Alley and why that's an incentive. And two, I think there's validity to the idea of, why would I want to go there? They just lie to the players and lie to the fans all the time. And if they say they're going to get something done, more often than not, they don't do it. And next thing I know, I'm supposed to be playing the outfield, and I'm playing second base, or David Hamilton has been substituted in for me, and I signed to play third, and now I'm supposed to play first. There's a chance that, Andy, this could either be a heroic journey for these Red Sox where they prove management wildly wrong, or this could blow up real bad. And I don't mean just like it could get messy. I mean it could blow up real bad on the Red Sox.
Fitzy, I'll let you control the mouse with the decision on this. Do you want a fire Breslow call or an I love Breslow call?
Let's go with the, you know what? Going to be a lot of fire Breslows all day. Let's go with the I love Breslow call.
All right, let's go to Joe in the car who has a interesting perspective. What's up, Joe?
What's up, guys? Let me tell you something. I think Breslow's doing a great job. For a guy to get rid of the face of the franchise in Denver, okay, you got to have a lot of balls, number one. Number two, you guys, everybody's talking like we're like 10, 15 games out of this thing. He gets the number one pitcher, arguably. Arguably, he gets the number one pitcher signed here, okay, in the American League, in major, in all of Major League Baseball. And then he brings up Hamilton, right? I don't know what the big fuss is. And it just
What do you mean you don't know what the big fuss is? The trade deadline passed, and he didn't do anything. No, you didn't, but you might start.
This team is fine. I mean, you guys, I'm going to tell you guys, you guys are going to all be kissing his, you know what, when we make the playoffs number one, this team is hot right now.
Are they? You sure they're going to be hot? Talk to me. Joe, do me a favor. Joe, thanks for the call, Joe. Call back on Monday. Let me know if they're still hot.
The guy sucks. Get him out.
Let me know if they're still hot. Because I have a feeling they will not be a hot baseball team come Monday with the pitching staff they're putting out there and the emotionally broken clubhouse that's going to take the field at Fenway Park tonight. And they're going to be greener on the inside than their jerseys are on the outside. They're going to feel like Kermit the Frog crying.
What if it's rally time? What if this galvanizes them?
Oh, us against the world? Us against Breslow? We'll show them.
Joe's also missing the center, the central point of all of this. At this point, it doesn't really matter what the Red Sox did or didn't do. To your point earlier, it's what other teams around you did. Every other team in the wild card or around you in the division that has any chance of passing you got significantly better at this deadline. The American League, which is wide open, by the way, I don't think there's one central front runner. Maybe it's the Tigers, but they also did nothing at their deadline either. It's wide open. Other teams around you knew it. They pounced. You did it. That's what Joe was missing.
And most importantly, the teams directly around you, the Yankees and the Mariners.
Yep.
You're sandwiched in between them right now. The Yankees went out and got a closer.
The Yankees made nine
trades
before the
deadline. Yankees got two closers, Andy.
And Seattle went out and got two big bats.
Mm-hmm.
And you did whatever it is you want to describe the Red Sox as doing. They added. The funny thing is, you know what looks dumber and dumber and dumber by the day is the comment that Breslow made about, we're not just going to add pitchers for the sake of adding pitchers. We're adding impact number two guys. Looks a lot like you added pitchers for the sake of adding pitchers, right? You needed a fifth starter.
Yep.
You added a fifth starter.
You told us what we wanted to hear at the time and then did nothing about it. That is the modus operandi of the Red Sox front office.
It's so brazen. I don't know if it's stupid, if it's ballsy. I don't know how you describe what they keep doing.
Could be
and
a
you're
splash
right.
of both, I would say.
There is a little bit of mix of brazen and stupidity. Mm-hmm. And I do wonder organizationally, because it's not all Breslow. He's a little bit new here. But organizationally, something I brought up with Ted yesterday that he poo-pooed immediately, because we're like, they can't possibly do it again. They can't possibly lie to their fans again. I actually think it's one of those classic, the first time you do something, you're freaked out what the repercussions are going to be. And then when you make it through it, Well, you do it again, and you're a little less worried because I got through it once. I can get through it again. Then when you do it the second time, well, the third time, and by the time you're on like your fifth time, like these serial womanizers, I bet you the first time they're worried they're going to get caught by their wives. And then when they get away with it, I bet you it's a lot easier for them to cheat. I don't know why I went down that road like this is a Chris Martin concert at frickin' Gillette Stadium, but that's what I thought of. That's what I thought. And I do think it gets easier for them to do this. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines for a more prototypical response to what happened last night. Tony in Bridgewater, fire Breslow. Why so?
The old Austinetta Stugatz. What a Stugatz. The next, I'm telling you something. I told you last week they were going to do squat. That guy got no balls. And I'm going to tell you something. Cora's got a big grin on his face right now because Cora is going to be the next GM. If not this year, they're going to fire Breslow. He's going to be, Veritek's going to take over. This was a complete disgrace. May is Bueller. Matz is Wilson. The Dodgers.
Finkel is Einhorn.
Who need pitching. The Dodgers who need pitching looks at this guy and says, you're not going to be in our postseason roster. Kick him to the curb. And they did the same with Bueller. And the Red Sox are picking up crumbs. And idiots like Joe keeps lying in the pockets of Henry by buying this BS.
Thanks for the call, Tony. Thanks for the passion.
Attaboy, Tony. Back anytime.
Well, guess what?
I think Tony was definitely more endemic of the feelings and passion right now of Red Sox Nation than Joe, who's one of my favorite callers, and I was surprised to hear was actually coming down on the side of Brezbot.
He's a contrarian. That's a contrarian viewpoint. There's no way you could live through yesterday's trade deadline with the little blip of Joe Ryan mixed in and feel like, what do you mean? He's doing a great job. He's done everything. And we're giving him credit for the offseason now. We're in season. We've given him credit throughout the totality. In fact, part of the reason I had faith in Craig Breslow at the trade deadline was the offseason. The accomplishments he made, the urgency and the aggressive nature with which he went about his business in the offseason.
Quickly, the specific moves that you give him credit for are which ones?
I give him credit for Crochet and Chapman.
Okay.
Especially Chapman. Yep.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because we all bitch that they overpaid for Chapman, and we're not bitching about that anymore.
I would posit that might have been a little bit of luck, but I will give you credit for lucking into your closer.
Luck, skill, opportunity, they all kind of blend together.
But I'm glad that you didn't say Bregman, because that's not, he gets no credit for Bregman. He pushed back.
No. That's cool.
I'm just making sure.
And
trade for a closer that'll be here next year as well, just in case, or that could back up Chapman in case he gets hurt since he's
It'll be Liam Hendricks. That's who the original closer was supposed to be. I think that's where the luck Dan Ball is pointing to comes in to some degree. But Dan Ball, you have brought this up before. You had a 3-point stance on this. You felt very strongly about this. I think you even did it a more likely scenario. Is there some possibility that Alex Cora is getting closer and closer to the big seat in baseball operations, and that the trade deadline yesterday, the reputation that Nightingale just said that Breslow has around the league, life comes at you fast in professional sports. Is it possible that you're closer to being right, that our guy Cora could be sitting in the big chair sooner rather than later?
I absolutely think so. Yeah, I think it gets closer by the day. And we had in 2023 a deadline where Chaim Bloom did nothing that he was criticized for and kind of ended up being the death nail in his tenure. I'm not saying it's going to happen by September of 2025 that Breslow would be let go. But Andy, that all comes down to one thing. Was Craig Breslow acting of his own volition at the trade deadline, or was ownership telling him that he couldn't spend? Because if that was all Breslow, then you have to make a change, and I think Cora is your guy. But I also don't think Alex Cora's willingness to win necessarily matches up with the ownership's ability to spend, so he may not be the right fit if that's the case.
We'll continue to point fingers and assign blame to what went wrong at the trade deadline for the Boston Red Sox. I've always hated when radio hosts do this, but now I'm a host, so I guess I got to do it. Mark, Joe, Randy, Glenn, James. James, we see you. We see you lined up. We'll take your calls next here on WEEI Afternoons.
It was all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
John's fault.
Craig Breslow trying to answer that question about financial flexibility, something that was supposed to aid them heading into the trade deadline, which really didn't bear a whole hell of a lot of fruit. Although he could have said we're overpaying Mott's, our middle reliever. We couldn't have paid him that much if we still had Devers. But the reality is they did nothing of any substance. And here we are bitching about it on WEEI Afternoons in our Ford Fenway Clubhouse studios. Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and you, 617-779-7937. Let's go to our buddy Joe in Melrose, who wants to blame elsewhere other than Breslow. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Well, first off, Breslow deserves all the criticism he's getting today. I mean, to go out and say no one else wanted our players is pretty bad. The rumors that other GMs say he's hard to talk to give me Dan Duquette vibes. I mean, and the fact that, like, if there's no starting pitching being transferred, that you didn't pivot to the bullpen is kind of a head-scratcher. But ultimately, like, the organization starts from the top. I mean, if any one of us was or had an owner that actually cared about winning and a GM performed like this, he'd be fired the next day. I mean, John Henry only cares about his wallet and profitability, and as long as Breslow is keeping the team profitable, then that's all John Henry cares about. And it's giving me like 1990s Bruins vibes, where Jeremy Jacobs was so intent on putting a salary cap in place for the NHL that he refused to spend any money for his players. As long as they were competitive, like a bubble playoff team, that's all he cares about. John Henry's not about winning championships.
Thanks for the call, Joe. And that similarity goes further than I'm not even sure if Joe realizes. John Henry is on a committee that is part of Major League Baseball, the upcoming CBA, potential work stoppage, salary cap. I forgot exactly the name of the committee, but he is on that. And he clearly would benefit from a potential salary cap in Major League Baseball. It'll be interesting. Obviously, Bryce Harper had some harsh words for the commissioner regarding such things. And it's hard to not, Fitzy, take finances into account. Like, we lived a certain lifestyle for a long time. You know when people get spousal support because it's like, well, I grew used to a certain lifestyle. There's certain hotels I get to stay at. There's certain restaurants I get to go to.
Which is kind of gross in my estimation, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay, just work with me here.
I'm rolling with you. Yeah, it's the law.
As Red Sox fans, we lived that life for a while. If there was a good player available, free agent trade, Red Sox would be in the hunt. The Red Sox, they might go get you a Manny Ramirez, a Pedro Martinez, a Curt Schilling, whatever they needed. And it's like, yeah, they still do it sometimes. They went and got a Sale. They went and got a Crochet. But you're not the big market team that you once were. And I think it's hard for us as fans to figure out why the hell not and what the hell is going on when I watch, I don't know, let's use an example, Fitzy. Yeah, you might know where I'm going. The San Diego Padres, for example. Mm. How come they just seem to get whatever they want / need and they can go get Mason Miller and the Boston Red Sox are sitting on their thumbs doing nothing?
Well, this feels like in the NFL when other teams like the Rams, you know, the F them picks guys, Les Snead and Sean McVay, find a way to always go out and get what they need, not so often at the trade deadline, but more often than not in the offseason, and seem to spend freely. So do the Ravens as well, perpetually competitive. And now the Patriots are hopefully clawing their way back to relevance and competitive enjoyment. And now the Red Sox seem to be in previous Patriots mode, like, sorry, guys. I know we have a pretty good team, but our hands are tied and we just need the financial flexibility, when in fact they're one of the lower spending, quote, big market teams. And for the record, so everyone out there knows this, if the Red Sox spent or added on, I believe, $11 million or more in payroll, they would have hit the luxury tax. I don't think anybody that was acquired yesterday was due more than $10 million the remainder of the season.
No.
Or so I heard, which means that there really wasn't an issue with going into the luxury tax. So therefore, this couldn't have been financial. And there was plenty of money available. And the $20, $30 million saved with Rafi Devers, guys, that's going to be used on a player next year. That was never going to factor into the equation or the calculus of who the Red Sox would get at the trade deadline and how much they would spend.
Before we get to Dan Ball, I do need to say also, and if they hit the luxury tax, would they have locked the doors at Fenway and we couldn't come in for games? They were over the
Then they would have been able to afford the new concession people.
Oh, they better have beers tonight. That's all I'm saying. I better be able to get a Miller Lite. Yes, Dan Ball.
John Henry's net worth right now is $5.5 billion. I don't want to hear a single word about what the luxury tax would have cost.
You don't want to cry for him?
No, I don't. Because if there's one guy in this building right now that can't cry poor, it's him.
And Thank Ted you. Johnson. And we'll talk to him at 3 o'clock. 617-779-7937. We've told you there's a lot of Astros jerseys on Lansdowne. The early jerseys we're seeing are... from
Hanging
Houston.
Them trash cans.
Well, James is from Houston. He's on the line. So let's go down to Houston and talk to James and his thoughts on the trade deadline. What's up, James?
Yeah, James? Guys. My family's from Massachusetts that came down here in the late 1970s, and there's this idea of Red Sox Nation. And this is sad, guys. I mean, to talk specifically, I was at our last playoff game, Game 6, 2021 ALCS. I watched that game with my father. And you're just wasting 3 hours a day, April through September, every year, watching this team, watching this organization. We're not entitled to a winner, but it's what are you selling? And the Red Sox last year had the third highest profits of any major league team. 300% higher profits than the Yankees. 300% higher profits than the Yankees. So they're not selling us a winner. It's a business. And maybe I shouldn't spend 3 hours a day, which is 540 hours, which is 3 weeks every year of my life watching this team. Back to the baseball. Craig Breslow is not an executive. He's an analyst. He was the 15th guy they wanted for this job. They wanted someone from the Dodgers, someone from the Astros, someone from the Orioles. They couldn't get him. No one wanted to come here and play with your hands tied behind your back. Last baseball thing, you need three ace pitchers to win. In October, we've got one. You got four borderline all-star outfielders. Somebody's got to go. To get a Joe Ryan, you got to give up Willier Abreu, Marcelo Meyer, and someone from the minor leagues. And guess what? You can go buy one of those players back in the offseason.
Thanks for the call, James. That was a great call. I let him go long, wow. And not even Fantastic. Ted Johnson wanted to yep. throw a pen at me because every point that James made was accurate. He even the points about, I know it sounds dramatic, 540 out. No, that's what fans do. Fans are investing a lot of time, money, and energy into the ball club. And this club, I'm going back to something I said a month ago. Just when you are all in on them and embracing them and like, oh my God, they are going to be good this year. They are going to do what it takes. They are going to, they kick you in the nuts and throw you out the door by doing something stupid. And they make you feel bad about your liking them. That is an incredible ability they have. Not a good ability, not a strength, but that is just when you embrace them, they make you regret it, and they've done it again here at the trade deadline. 617-779-7937. We see your calls continuing to line up. We're coming up on 3 o'clock. That means Ted Johnson in three-point stance. 3:30, Mike Giardi. 4 o'clock, Will Fleming. We'll also hear from the manager, Alex Cora. How is he going to put lipstick on this trade deadline pig? We'll find out all that and more starting with three-point stances next here on WEEI Afternoons.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.